little bit about me. I've been in programs since 2018. I got here in October of 2018. I originally started in a different 12-step fellowship, and I think just to get it out in the open, it was AA, and I've been sober since November of 2016. October 2016, sorry. So when I came to OA, I had had some familiarity with the 12-step program, how it functioned, or how it generally functions, living by spiritual principles, things of that nature. But the entire time I was in AA, I felt like I was living a bit of a lie. And it was interesting because I would tell my sponsees to have faith in God and to trust God. And then, you know, I would go in turn, go home and eat myself to oblivion, and practicing very little faith in God. Quick history, and I will definitely touch on body image and sexuality and in this share, but just a quick little rundown. I have been an overeater for the majority of my life. I grew up, I remember the first time I recreationally ate very well, actually. My mom was a single parent, and it was during a summer vacation, and she was working a couple hours away, and so I spent a lot of time at home alone. And I remember the day I went to the freezer and picked out a microwavable meal, but I wasn't hungry. I just needed to feel something different. Looking back, oftentimes I want to villainize food. I want to make food the issue. But to be honest, food served a purpose for me. And food got me through some very rough moments. And being a child, what other options did I have? And so I've grown to have more empathy for myself, and empathy for that young man or young boy who didn't have any other options on the table at the time. And I didn't know what I was getting into either. And so from there, eating just became a part of my personality. I was famous for, it didn't matter what it was really, sugars, fats, whatever, fried this, everything, all of it. I was not discriminatory whatsoever in what I would eat. And it just kind of, in my family, it was just like, oh, well, David just likes to eat, you know? And I was like, okay, cool. Because, and I just took that as a label. But I remember that same summer that I shared about, when I got back to school, I remember one of my best friends came up to me and was like, you got fat over the summer. And there, that starts the body image kind of saga of it all, of, just feeling super uncomfortable in my skin. And, I learned to associate, fat with bad, you know, and I associated that I must be bad. And so it began this dual process of feeling like in my own skin, I will never be enough. And like, as I'm sure a lot of you guys know, and especially overeating in childhood, like kids are not the nicest. I think our intelligence grows a lot quicker than our empathy at some point. And for me, middle school was hellacious. It's not really cool being the fat kid, and I hated myself, and I really learned to internalize just like, so a lot of my jokes at the time were very self-deprecating and very much like, yeah, I know I'm a piece of shit, aren't I? And like, I learned to seek out approval based on playing an archetypal of the fat guy in school, you know? And, you know, looking back, you know, it was very like, I don't know, it was selling myself pieces of like my dignity for what I thought I needed and can get from other people. But again, just like when I started overeating, I didn't have any of the tools, to be honest, available to me. And I thought that was the only way I could navigate through life was if I can get people to like me if I'm funny, and the only way I can be funny is if I make fun of myself for being fat. And so that's kind of just how I operated for growing up. And it wasn't until senior year of high school it was junior year. I don't know what came over me. I started roller skating outside a lot. And I just one day I was like, you know what? I'm just going to see if I can lose all this weight. Cause by this point I was probably a good 100, 150 pounds overweight for my age. And so I went on my first crash diet. Looking back, it was 100% restricting to the max and over exercising. But the amount of positive feedback that I received when I got back to school after starting that, it left a very interesting impression in my head. And I started to relate, you know, if I lose weight and if I, you know, somehow by brute force my body to be smaller, I can get a lot of positive affirmation and people will like me. And that's, again, seeking out, basically selling my body in a sense to mistreating my body to derive what I think I need from other people. And so, First Crash Diet, it was very successful in terms of if we only look at the weight loss component of it, lost 100 pounds fairly quickly. And it felt like, you know, this is exactly what the issue was, right? Like my body was the issue and I have fixed my body. All of that, you know, social popularity that I got in high school and things like that, set me up to have my first drink. And so after that happened, it was over for a while. And what I've noticed, if you can relate with having, you know, dual addictions, my compulsive eating and my alcoholism and drug addiction, they go hand in hand. It's the same kind of intersectionality as like body image and sexuality. And I can't talk about one without kind of at least talking about the other. So for me, I developed a cycle where I wasn't overeating when I was drinking and getting high, and I was overeating, you better bet, if I was without my drugs of choice. It became a very much crash course of just like, how can I restrict using? And I believe I learned this in OA. I learned that that's actually behavior associated with bulimia, but I didn't know it at the time. So yes, I would use anorexics and stimulants to, you know, control my appetite. During this time, like everything is burning down, but like my main focus was like one of my main focuses during this time period after high school, when I'm in active alcoholism, is like continuing to like at least make my body look good. You know, my life is burning down. I feel like absolute terrible. Sorry, I curse sometimes without catching myself. I feel like poop. But point being, like, at least maybe I can make my body look good. And, you know, it ultimately ends me up in treatment for drug addiction. And, you know, I get sober and I start working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. But during this time period, and I remember very clearly in treatment, I would be writing out my fourth step inventory and I'd have a fork in the other hand. And it became, and that was very much synonymous with how my addictions played into each other. And so, of course, when I get sober, the food just comes back roaring. But I played this game with myself, and I don't know if it was a game with myself or not. But when is, you know, at least I'm not drinking is what came to mind. And to an extent, yes, at least I wasn't drinking. And yes, I don't think I could have gotten sober and abstinent at the same time, to be honest. And again, food served its purpose, and I can't hate food for getting me through my steps the first time in AA. I just can't. But what ends up happening, I actually have a spiritual experience, and I get sober, and I become an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and things are, as naturally comes with, you know, putting down drugs and putting down alcohol, things get a lot better. And, you know, for a while I felt great, but this whole time, my weight is just growing out of control. And it's not just my weight. It's like a sense of leading a false life, too. And that cognitive dissonance that exists with, like I said, just like having sponsees in AA and like preaching like spirituality solves all my problems. And at the same time, I'm completely destroying myself with food. At the time I didn't have a car, and I remember I had to walk to the bus stop, and it had gotten to the point where I could no longer even make it to, like, I was struggling to make it maybe two or three blocks to the bus so I can go to work. And so what do? I do what I've always done when I feel like something is outside of my control. I double down on self-will, and, you know, I go on another crash course diet, and, you know, I lose a fair amount of weight. But it just doesn't last very long, to be honest. I believe this disease is progressive, and my ability to crash course diet my way outside of this disease and the consequences it causes for me have become less and less and less over time, to the point where I no longer have the option or ability to just self-will my weight away. Eventually, the consequences continue piling up, and I find myself being 400 pounds, sober from drugs and alcohol, but absolutely miserable, to the point where walking past a mirror or any kind of reflection of myself was enough to, like, cause a breakdown of just, like, just complete and utter hatred. And I wouldn't relate that to a sober life. But I remember when I first got sober, I actually did. There was a lady who shared her story once in one of the meetings I found myself in. And she shared about getting sober and getting abstinent and, like, being in OA. And that was a really, for me, I thought it would be one or the other. I never thought I could have both at the same time. I thought either I'm going to be sober from alcohol and drugs, or I'm going to be a compulsive overeater, or either or. The idea that I could have both at the same time was a pipe dream to me. And I remembered that, but though I kept that in my mind throughout my sobriety, that maybe, just maybe, there was a place where I could find a relief and I wouldn't have to have one or the other. I could have both at the same time, but it still seemed like such an impossibility. And so December, or rather 2018, I'm on a recovery camping trip. And again, that dang mirror and reflection, and I catch a glimpse of myself, because I'm pretty good at trying to avoid my body at all times. You know, I don't want to look, you know, or not try to, because I know that just kind of ruins my entire day. But I catch a glimpse of myself, and I just have an absolute breakdown. And just, like, seeing what I look like, and I was disgusted. And, you know, I was just like, wow. And I don't say that to get into, like, a shamey fat phobia way, but just in, like, a, oh my God, because I was so used to acting like I didn't have a body for so long, that when I finally, like, did catch a glimpse of it and saw it, and I was just like, wow, I didn't realize it was that bad. And so I called my sponsor and I was like, I need help, you know, like, I can't keep doing this. And what I felt was coming was, honestly, I knew that my sobriety was at stake by this point. I knew I would not be able to remain sober if I continued to allow this food, allowing compulsive overeating to run my life. I knew at some point either I would become so depressed that I was probably going to end up just taking drugs to stop, or stimulant to stop the eating at that point. And that scared me, because once I start with one, and, you know, once I take one of substance, it's over. That's it. I'm very much a real deal alcoholic and drug addict, also a compulsive reader. So I show up to OA, my first meeting, I come in with a certain level of ego and bravado of, like, yeah, I got sober in AA. I know what this program is about. And, like, thinking I knew what abstinence was without ever having been to an OA meeting before in my life. But I still, one thing that I did do was I kept coming back. Every week it seemed like I had a new wacky idea on how I was going to come out, blend OA with, like, what I thought it should be, like a dieting club, you know? And so I thought this was a program about dieting. So I treated it like such. And then I would have to come back and admit, hey guys, this recent scheme I had didn't work out so well, so I'm here again. And that was my first few months of OA. Also, my first few months of OA were spent, I would literally leave the meeting and go straight to the drive-thru. And I did that. And then I would go back, and next week I'd be back and do the same thing afterwards. But what I did do was I got a sponsor. I personally started working the steps. But what started changing for me was the honesty about my food and what I was eating and just how bad it was, because I was very great at, like, eating some things in front of some people and then eat other things in front of other people. And then acting like nobody knew the whole story except for me. And so OA brought me to the first time to, like, actually at least sending my food in and just being completely honest. And something about that process seemed to have opened the door just enough for one day. It was after my fourth step, actually. I think it was my fifth step, or no, maybe six or seven, that I was on my third revision of a food plan that I had come up with. And I was just at work one day. I was like, what if I just gave this an honest shot? And I'd been praying for it.
5 minutes, Devin.
Appreciate it. And I'd been praying for it heavily. I was like, what if I just give this an honest shot? And ever since then, early 2019, you know, I've been practicing a program of abstinence and practicing a full program of honesty around my food. But I've lost over 200 pounds in program. And it's something that I never thought would be possible. But just because I, quote unquote, lose the weight, I have come to realize the weight was not the issue to begin with. I still have the mind of a compulsive overeater. I still have the mind and behavior of someone who spent their entire life hating themselves. And trust me, the moment I lost the weight, I did not just come start loving myself completely. That just isn't what happened. It's been a process of coming to accept myself and my quote unquote new body. It's been a process of coming to love myself, and it's not easy. And I'm not going to sit here and say, even having been in program a few years, that I'm anywhere close to what I would say would be a completely sane relationship with myself and my body image, because this is years upon years upon years of negative like thoughts, thinking, and belief systems that have taken time to come off. But I will say that the steps in my higher power provide me with the framework for once where I can finally start doing the work to be relieved of this. Then I can, the steps and the fellowship have provided me with a place to come where I know people understand. When I say that I still feel the sometimes some days I feel the exact same size I was when I first came in. And when other people would look at me like I'm absolutely crazy, but you guys understand me and you get me, and I appreciate that. It's funny that I'm talking about this now too, because I have a half done resentment inventory with my body sitting on the side here. So this is telling me I need to do that and complete that inventory really badly. But
3 minutes.
appreciate it. And so I guess how this all comes together. I something that happened for one of the first times was I realized that I had sex appeal, which was very uncomfortable. I was so used to really treating my body as a desexualized object. It just like, no, I didn't want to, the idea of viewing myself in the third person in a sexual situation. I was like, oh, just thinking of like what they're going to think of the fat, and I'm not attractive. And in 2020, as my weight started stabilizing, I experienced this as an addict would. I was like, oh crap, I can get validation through this. And so I ran with it. And I guess, I was in many ways, I was internally very much immature and naive. And so I think I had to have my experience with it. But just this year, I feel like I'm coming back to a more sane and sound ideal of what it means for me and what I'm willing to accept and what I'm not willing to accept. Mostly like, what am I willing to bring to a relationship? I'm not gonna lie, I'm still very much afraid, and a lot, I have fear around relationships, and I still feel very much like some days I don't feel like I deserve a relationship. But what I do know is that like my higher power looks at me so much higher than I look at myself. And what it means to, bring my will into his will is really just coming to accept that I'm as beautiful as God would have me be. And that's can be harder at times to accept, but I think that's what self-will is for me today. If I'm continuing to actively oppose what I think God would have for myself, excuse me, higher power would have for me, that is living in self-will, and that is living in delusion. And that is me standing in opposition to something that obviously he wants better and better and better for me. So I think that's going to do it. I just really appreciate being asked to share. I hope it made some sense. And my goal was just to be helpful. And I hope that's what I achieved. So thanks for allowing me to share, guys.